Are there any additions or corrections? If I'm ready, carefully, of course. Nothing else to do this week? Do we have a motion to approve? Second? All in favor, say aye. Minutes of the April meeting were distributed along with the agenda again about a week ago, redistributed yesterday. Are there any additions or corrections? Do we have a motion to approve? Second? All in favor, say aye. Opposed? Okay. Dr. Baker?
Very quick today because we have a lot of things to do, and then after this we're going to have a little integration workshop. I'm going to stay out around for it. Just thank you for everything you did this year. This was a really interesting, challenging, successful, and full of a lot of projects in one year. And I think just the number of student awards that we've won and the number of faculty awards and Fulbright scholarships and other things has just been absolutely astounding. So thank you for everything this year. Some of the great end of year announcements, promotion to full professor, Ann Bauer. Rob Fleming. Promotion to associate professor, Lisa Phillips. I have their pictures up there, sorry, next year. Jake Tucci. And Stacey Van Damme. Sabbaticals for next year, Frank Baseman. Chris Harnish, Chris Pastor, Rick Shane, retirements, Morna Livingston. Thank you again.
Morna, by the way, is in France visiting gardens. She sends her regrets. She would prefer to be here, but an obligation she can set aside for. Okay, faculty voices. You've heard me say this before, and I will continue to say it, both as chair of the faculty and next year for the floor. It is extremely important in our model of shared governance that you participate. Without your participation, we don't have shared governance. And there are a lot of us here in this room and who have retired from this institution who have fought long and hard for that right. And that right comes with the responsibility. So I leave you with that word. Now, is Sue here? Yes.
I'm Sue Christopherson from Canbar College School of Business, and I'm on the Faculty Council, and as such, as part of our purview or responsibilities to bring faculty concerns to the full faculty. And there's been a significant concern about salary stagnation. And with inflation being around 2.5% over the last decade, and no raises, I think we got 1.5 once in the last decade, our salaries are going down by 2 to 3% every year. So that's the concern.
I believe Dr. Spinelli is including some of this in his presentation at the end. So are there any other comments? Okay, reports. Carol?
Hi, I'm Carol Herman, the chair of the Student Experience Committee. I just wanted to take a minute and thank everyone for their service to our committee this semester, this year. And in particular, one of the things we're looking at for next year through the student experience, through the student engagement end of our committee, is to look at setting up a series of fora for students where they can raise questions about integration so that we can both answer their questions when we're able to and dispel rumors, because rumors are worse than the truth usually. And so the students are really excited about setting up a series of moments when they can ask questions, probably in September, late September, about what's going on with the integration next year. I'd also like to thank the members of the committee who, four of the members of the search committee for the new Dean of Students have came from the Student Experience Committee, and we're very excited. We're sad to see Dean Gavone leave, and we're very excited about the possibility of a new Dean of Students. So that's all I wanted. Thank you.
I'd like to piggyback on that, if Carol will let me. As we are handing in grades today, right, at midnight, it's important that those of you who have been advising students on academic probation make adequate notes in the file. If they are dismissed and appeal, those notes really count. We need to hear from you. So please close that.
Dismissal letters are going out on the 16th, and dismissal hearings will be on June 2nd. So if you have a student who is dismissed, they might get back to you and say, what do I do? The turnaround time needs to happen in that time frame. It's our favorite task of the year. Thank you.
Many of you have, over the years, asked about the interaction between faculty and the Board of Trustees. Last year, we tried a model that we're repeating this year, and that is at the last shared governance meeting, Dr. Spinelli joined us, and all of the chairs of the standing committees gave their end-of-year summary reports. These reports have been forwarded to David Ray, who chairs the Academic Affairs Subcommittee of the Board of Trustees, and he will decide which of the chairs, besides I'm always included, but which of the other chairs will be included in the June 9th, 10th meeting of that subcommittee. And so that's our opportunity. It worked quite well last year. The focus last year was on assessment. And so I imagine maybe that will repeat itself this year. Big topic. So just wanted you to know where those are going. It's also an excellent opportunity to get the end of year reports in before the end of term. It's worked quite well. Okay, special reports. Craig, Valerie?
We're going to report on the results of a dossier preparation survey we administered this year. Mallory, well, this report started last year, putting it together, and finally got administered this year due to some delays. So this is Mallory's baby, so I'm going to let her take it over.
And this baby hasn't actually wanted any, hasn't been crying from getting up from a nap, so it's pretty interesting. So hi, I'm going to be pretty quick about this. Went through too quickly. So I'm going to be fairly quick about this. So first off, I just wanted to say I'm going to present some of the survey results for our contract renewal process experience. And the summary, it has been summarized to protect anonymity. And I also wanted to say before we started, thank you to Beth Shepherd Rabidam, who created this visual that for us. And we forgot to take the timer off. But really, thank you for putting this together. And also thank you to the UPC members who worked on this survey. And most of all, though, thank you to the respondents for your feedback. It is super valuable, so I really appreciate that. The other thing I just want to say is that there are going to be lots of data here, and I know many of you, some of you maybe at least just one person, me, may not be able to have the processing power to process all of this data right now. You might be doing some other things like finishing final grades. So I'm not going to go over it. I'm just going to very briefly give you a hint to what some of this data presents. And this is available to you on sent to the emails that by Jessica Holt, right? This is part of that package you sent out, so you can delve into it at your leisure and ask questions if you have questions about it. Okay, so first thing is if you did use the university's workshops or resources, they were helpful. So most of you found they were helpful. Many of you, over half of you, did receive mentoring during the dossier process. I told you I was going to be fast about this now, including administrative mentoring. Many of you spent a lot of time preparing your dossier and making it a thoughtful experience for reviewers. Many of you had some comments about the review timetable. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They're very, very helpful. Appreciate them. Most of you submitted online, and the reasons, if you didn't submit online, why, were also very helpful for us. Thank you. You had a bunch of comments, which we really appreciate, and we read. You can read the summaries of also at your leisure.
Maybe did that work?
People thought about having a word count or page limit and weighed in on that. It looks like the results are mixed. That'll be fun to work through with that question. And most of you, the blue is yes, found that there were benefits, professional benefits to this, and had some good comments for us as well. And most of you found there were challenges. It also gave some really good details, which really helped out a lot, or really are very thought-provoking for us. You've made some great comments about how the process can be improved that we'll think on, and lots of other final comments that were also super helpful. So that's the quick drive of this. If any of this intrigues you, please go ahead and look, dwell into it, and we can talk about it. And I also wanted to just add that your input really matters. The UPC will be using this as they conduct periodic evaluation, or their periodic evaluation of the processes around contract renewal and promotion, and also to design a mentoring process, a university-wide mentoring program that we're going to start talking about next week. A few faculty representing all of the three colleges are coming together to start to brainstorm about that mentoring process and deliver a project for the Provost's Office. So thank you, Provost's Office, too, for sponsoring that and making that work. So thank you. That's it.
Where is this being archived?
Jessica, I think, sent this out as part of the zip file with the notes for today's meeting.
Yes, however, where is it archived?
It's also on the website under faculty meetings. All the slides are there.
Okay, thank you. Any other
questions?
I'm just saying this is an example of institutional assessment.
Go us. All right.
We're also going to present the new classroom observation form. It goes by many names that Jen has taken the lead on. I was on this working group, and as chair of the UPC, also involved with this. There was some issues with the old classroom observation form that it did not apply as well to online classes and graduate courses amongst. It just needed a general review. And so, Jeff.
Took away half of what I was going to say. So, wow, we're all ready for lunch. So the UPC and the Provost's Office came to the Center for Teaching Innovation Nexus Learning and asked us collectively to work as a task force and update the form. And I'm going to cut to the chase and not even show it to you. It was within the zip drive. You can see it. In December, a great working group met to discuss ideas to produce a better course observation form. We did some benchmarking using existing observation forms from other institutions and discussions of best practices and strategies on formative assessment for faculty teaching abilities. Chris Pastor, you're a KDEP Nexus advocate, by the way, and I led the revision of the existing form. The new form presented today was heavily commented on by the working groups as well as additional stakeholders faculty members teaching hybrid and online courses in particular. The form was then presented back to the UPC this semester and received comments and suggestions, which were taken, most of them. Those comments were considered, and eventually the form was passed back to the UPC in the final form that you see within the zip drive. I just want to summarize some of the updates to let you know if you haven't seen it yet. The following revisions were made. There are step-by-step instructions for the evaluators, including the sentence, write your comments in the spirit of fostering potential for growth and change, both positive and negative teaching behaviors and results. Some of the section headings were clarified, such as knowledge of subject matter became content knowledge delivery. Like that one? Instructor-student interaction became ability to create a positive learning environment. Presentation and enthusiasm became just presentation skills. The existing form had observed student behavior, and we rolled that into the positive learning environment section. The rating scale we thought was a little archaic, and it was changed from excellent, good, average, poor to exemplary, advanced, proficient, and needs improvement. Almost done. In each section, the prompts there were prompts that were added and expanded to act as guiding indicators of teaching excellence. And we added the phrase, you may use any of the following prompts if relevant to assist your evaluation of the instructor. Every section was written to accommodate all delivery modes. We got rid of that very face-to-face and undergraduate-centric tone to it, and every section is written tearing that apart, and it's accommodating all delivery modes from face-to-face, hybrid to online. And lastly, an optional section was added to include the evaluation for online or hybrid observations, and that is under design and usability. Are there any questions? Wow. This will go in effect right now. Great.
I've lost my agenda. What's next?
I have a question, though, about the last one. So if I did a classroom observation 3 weeks ago, and I haven't written it up yet, which form should I use? Which form did I
answer? Yeah. First question.
Okay, that's fine.
Grab, going to grab lunch. I'm sorry, Barbara, could you repeat the question? I was totally zoning.
But I did classroom observation that I haven't written up yet. I was going to do it in the next day or so. I just got from Susan the input that I want to use the old one because that's the one I had with me in the classroom. Okay, thanks.
Valerie, I'm very sorry about the timing. I really meant to turn that off. I don't know how I didn't turn that off. I'm presenting on changes that we made to the faculty manual this year. And I'm just putting them all before you in the spirit of transparency. I've presented on almost all of them to you over the course of the year, but here they are summarized in one place, and the new manual will be published to the Provost Office webpage very shortly. In spring, I presented to you the new policy on administrators with faculty rank, policies and procedures. And also last month presented to you just an update in the sabbatical eligibility language and the new cover sheet and required application format. We just recently updated the modified tenure review policy to include long-term contract. Because there are situations where we hire senior or senior faculty members who come in on a practice track. In working with Barbara Kimmelman, who's really rolled up her sleeves this year and worked through some of the procedures in the manual, we found that there were some dates and deadlines that didn't jibe with all types of reviews, so we made those updates. And we recently updated the description of sponsored leaves to cover the situation where the sponsor pays the fellow or the grantee directly rather than paying the university who pays the faculty grantee. And so those changes have been made. And thanks to Jeff and his committee, we will update the classroom observation of teaching form that is referenced in the faculty manual as well. Does anyone have any questions about these changes? Thank you.
Hello, I'm Susan Frostin. I'm one of the associate provosts. We have a quick PowerPoint for you. I'm presenting information on Nexus Maximus today at Dr. Witter's request, who is not able to be here today, but I believe is on Adobe Connect. And I want to thank the Nexus advocates who shared information in your college meetings on Tuesday, and I want to thank CSLAW for allowing me to attend their meeting and field questions. But since not everyone was in the meeting, do I?
Yes, you'll go.
Oh, sorry. I'm like waiting for it to show up, and it's me that needs to do it. Sorry. Okay, so Nexus Maximus 3, the dates are September 9th through 12th, and the topic is personal health, innovation, data, and empowerment. You can find a general schedule for the activities of the weekend here at this website. Just to review briefly, the morning is when there's an orientation. On Friday morning, we have an orientation, kickoff, and team building exercises. The afternoon are workshops, team collaboration, report outs to faculty facilitators, and the evening, dinner, games, and independent work. So this is to give you a sense of the life of the student during this. Saturday morning, workshops and team collaboration. Afternoon, workshops, team collaboration, report outs to faculty facilitators. The evening, dinner, games, and independent work. Sunday morning are workshops and team collaboration. Afternoon, team collaboration and report out to faculty facilitators. Evening, dinner, games, and independent work. And then Monday is the poster session and award ceremony. And just to give you a sense, the components of Nexus Maximus are a sprint project, a workshop presentation series, and a poster session. Sorry. Now, there are a number of ways that faculty can be involved. Very quickly, you can include it in your course, you can lead a workshop or presentation, or you can participate as a faculty facilitator. And I have more info on each one of those pathways. So you can include Nexus Maximus in your course and directly integrate it into your curriculum. And you can use it as a vehicle to introduce concepts and achieve learning outcomes, enrich the discussion and development of Nexus learning skills. You and your students get to work with people from other institutions and countries, as well as faculty and students from across campus. And it also provides a launch pad for future work. Some reason the arrows down here are going in the opposite direction. So another way that you can faculty or staff can be involved is to lead a workshop or presentation. And the goal of the workshop series is to provide students with either tools or content to enrich their project and experience. So tools are anything that may be relevant to innovation, ideation, program framing, teamwork, collaboration, storytelling. Content directly relates to the subject matter and to the challenge at hand this year, which is personal health and data. The format, the length can be either 45 to 60 minutes, or if there's something else you want to do, you can just tell us. The workshops and presentations are on Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday morning. So some examples, some examples from 2015 in terms of tools included things like team building, triple bottom line thinking and decision making, integral sustainability, task analysis, developing the design brief, co-development with customers? What are investors looking for? Panning in and panning out, that was about looking at the project from different scales. And then how to tell your story and how to compose your poster. And then content related to things were tended to be more directly related to the topical issues related to child and adolescent health. And just to give you a sense, the workshops are set up in such a way, for example, team building occurs on Friday, and how to tell your story occurs on Sunday morning. So Sunday morning tends to be pretty lean and tends to be about how to help them finish up their posters for the next day. I think I would have learned. You can also participate as a faculty facilitator, and in this instance, faculty members actually work in teams, so the students are working in teams, the faculty work in teams, and they give feedback and direction to the student teams at specified times on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you can always join the discussion and the judging. So the final presentation, the poster session, is on Monday. Faculty are welcome to attend, review the boards, discuss the ideas with the students, and score the projects according to a rubric that's provided. Students also get to roam around and have discussions with other students. Last year, we had a group of DECA high school students, which was organized by Lloyd Russo, and they attended this portion of Nexus Maximus to review the boards, discuss the projects with student teams, and evaluate the projects. And from my understanding from Lloyd, the high school students really enjoy being able to judge others. And it's a great time. It's a great recruitment tool as well. And it was also a nice amount of time of 3 to 4 hours. And then there's the award ceremony. Some highlights from 2015, 340 students participated. There were 20 plus disciplines, 45 student teams, with everyone from freshmen to PhD students and also our bridge students. The animation and interactive design students did the website and blog, had 205 blog entries. And the communication students also very excitedly participated and did some social media, photos, videos, tweets. So 23 plus workshops and presentations, 34 faculty, just some external participation. Johnson & Johnson provided sponsorship. We had students from Aalto University in Finland, from the Paris D School, from Kia in Copenhagen, as well as participants from PACE, Nemours, and Temple. For more information, you can go to last year's website. So I have specific links here that you can go for info. And then if you have any questions, or if you're interested, or if you would like to brainstorm, please feel free to contact either DR, Matt, Jeff Ashley, or myself.
Question? Okay, next presentation is Tom Becker. He's giving us some idea about what's about to happen. All hell breaks loose.
No surprises. Thanks for inviting me. See if I get this up real quick.
Correct.
right, so I was asked to give a brief update on the Summer Projects 2016. We did a review of this in February, so this is going to be brief. We'll just go down real quick, and it's really intended to open it up to your questions. So the major project that we're doing this summer on camp, one of the major projects is the Fashion Textiles Future Center. It's about a $3.1 million commitment to those curriculums, and it'll take place in Hayward Hall, and it's part of really a three-part thing that's happening with Hayward Hall, and that this piece of it is first, then we'll be doing a health science center, and then we're going to go back and backfit portions of Hayward in the allied health components. So let's just go down real quick. So we have the Fashion Textiles Future Center in Hayward, and that is starting this week. You can start to see some of the preparation that's taking place. Hayward lot will start to be closed by Monday. There's also a sound booth going in Hayward in room 108. There's some energy payback projects, and that has a lot to do with going to interruptible gas, but we're also changing the HVAC system in the A&D Center. As part of going to interruptible gas in more of our buildings, we're going to be removing about 20,000 gallons of underground storage on campus, and those holes will start to happen next week. We have a little kitchen going up in Schaller, and that's to co-support the Bridge program. We have a Nexus teaching hub going in the Gutman Library. We have a deck composites oven that's a leftover from moving PERC back that will get hooked up this summer. The archer porch is being removed in the back, and we'll tidy that up with some nice copper bow windows there. The Tuttleman whiteboards, that's a project where we're supplementing whiteboards on more of the walls in Tuttleman. For right now, we're leaving the blackboards, but we may experiment with a coating that goes over the blackboards, like a film. So if you are a diehard blackboard type of person, chalk blackboard type of person, please see Jeff Ashley, and he'll get back to me, and we'll put you in a special place. we have auditorium furnishings in Downs Hall that are going in for those tablet armchairs that have seen, well, they've been here my entire career, so they've seen some better days. And some interior upgrades going on in the Raven Hill Dining Hall, and that's about a $500,000 commitment, again, to a campus that serves primarily freshmen and first impressions. So the furniture that's in there has lasted since 1987, so it's due. And we'll freshen that up and do some carpeting and a little more technology down there. And the Fortes student rooms are also going to get a pick-me-up, which I've still got some glued ceilings and fluorescent fixtures in their rooms. So we'll be going back with some better finishes and better lighting. And Bucks County is growing a little bit. We have some institutional technology upgrades there, but also a little bit of an office expansion there at that location. The new Health and Science Center design was sort of rethought with the merger with Thomas Jefferson, so we're adding an additional floor to that building, and we're going to try to recommence some of that programming. And it's interesting, some of the feedback that we're getting about what should go in there, what should not go in there, and related to allied health. So that'll be a nice exercise over the next few weeks, and that design will commence over the summer. We are having some zoning delays with that building, and we're trying to get it into the process that converts the university to institutional zoning, and that's hit some political snags, so we're trying to work through those things, and that has delayed that building from breaking ground in the fall. We hope to see it late in the fall or winter or early spring. Or we may go a different way with the zoning there, but in some ways it's worked well because of the merger, and we're going to have a better building come out of it. And then down at our New Jersey campus, the Shure Medical Facility down there, we're growing that
Gross Anatomy Lab, and we're putting in a new station this year in one more state. We'll have the provisions to put in another station next year. So the big things are you won't be able to park in Hayward's lot most of the summer, and we will have some power outages going on in Hayward primarily over the summer that we'll be putting out advanced communication about. And we're trying to do all that before the cadavers re-arrive in the end of June, beginning of July, but we'll probably have a little bit of leftover, you know. So, what can I say? Are there any questions? Sure. So you're saying that there's not enough light, or there's too much light, or what is it? Or a glare? On the chalkboards. Okay. What we're doing this year with that is we'll take a look and see if we've got something out there, but Jeff and I can take a quick look at that. But the this project is mainly about putting more whiteboard surfaces on the sidewalls. So it could just be the light that's there. Any other questions?
Term plans for Smith House, and particularly those areas where faculty suffer from sick buildings?
The long term, okay, well, first of all, let me assure you that we've had the building monitored a couple of times now as from complaints, and there are no health concerns in that building. You know, there may be an odor from time to time, and it's an old building, and we have oil systems in that building and so forth, but there's nothing that approaches a health concern in the building. The longer term concerns, or the longer term thoughts for that building, are to move it away from an academic teaching building, as it's sort of a triple move in that landscape architecture is supposed to come up into the search building when the Allied Health and the science faculty move into the new facilities in Hayward in the new building. So it'll be switched over to, there's been a couple of thoughts about what might go there in terms of primarily administration.
No,
the whole architecture program. You know, anything that's related to architecture will move up to main campus into Search Hall. But Search Hall is geared to be, with the exception of what's required for OIR, because we're going to leave the main servers there, that it'll be mainly architecture CAPE-related. Okay. Sure.
I'm reluctant to ask this because I know it's a can of worms, but what kind of transportation planning is going to be going on with respect to some of the larger construction projects on campus?
Okay, parking downs. You know, parking downs a lot. Yeah. You know, for the summer anyway. And then is after we get involved with the only lots that will be closed during this construction process for the new building will be the Hayward lot and Schaller lot. And, you know, we have sufficient parking down at Raven Hill, and we have the shuttles for that. Whether we repartition how many credit hours a student might need to park on main campus or not hasn't really been worked out.
How often do the shuttles run between Raven Hill and main campus?
I think they're on a constant loop, and you can see it on your app. And I know there's a commitment with Falls Center to do every 30 minutes.
And is that continuous over the summer as well?
No, we don't usually run it over the summer. We usually don't have parking concerns over the summer between Raven Hill, and I don't anticipate that we're losing that amount of parking down there. We will probably open the fall with Hayward Lot. Any other questions? All right, seeing none, I'm adjourned.
Use that word until we're done.
Hi, everybody. Anu, Dada, and I wanted to present to you a work that's going to be in progress this summer. But I thought I would give Anu a moment just to speak a little bit about the research advocates and the work that they've been doing, as this project was originally identified by that group of faculty.
Yeah, so one of the things that, well, first let me also say that this semester we approved a subcommittee for we created a research council, and we now have a subcommittee as part of UR, which will take care of research issues at this university. So you will have a go-to place if anyone is thinking about, you know, going for a grant, etc. You know who to approach. So there'll be a group of people from the provost office, the deans, the library, and Rob Scamarucci, and so on, who are all part of this this committee. And we hope you know, faculty will come forward and, you know, approach us if they have any questions about research resources and application of grants, etc. The other thing that we are also planning to do next semester is create this database, which TJU already has. What they have there is that you have faculty profiles as part of this database. So when you go there to their website, you should be you will be able to search any faculty profile and figure out what their research interests are, etc. And that also would help us, if needed, to collaborate with the faculty at TJU. And the provost office actually has been working on creating this this database here, and I think Beth will give us the details on that.
Thank you. So the idea is that we are going to create the back-end database for the moment when we can interface or integrate with TJU and the online tool that they have today. And so it is a database that will collect faculty research and practice interests, and that it will feed to some kind of online tool. And as Anu said, it is intended to facilitate faculty collaboration with internal and external collaborators to increase awareness of the work that you're doing so that we can support you in grantsmanship, and that we can highlight the faculty expertise we have on our campus when experts come looking for experts. So when media come, corporations come, nonprofits, public agencies, and others, we'll be able to direct them to this tool or direct them to you specifically. So we are working on an online intake form, and it will be somewhat like the FAR because it will display for you some data that we have about you, such as your preferred name, your home college, your academic credentials, and then it will have editable fields that will ask you for a 250-word statement of your research and practice interests, so in your words about what you do, and then it will ask you for keywords or phrases about your scholarly or practice interests, and the geographic interests that you have, places that you study or places that you travel to for purposes of study. And as you all use this form, the keywords that you plug in will be available to others to use as well. So you may begin to type a word, and then that word will appear so that we have some standardization in the database. And it may, the tool that we may end up using could look like this one, although TJU is has been working on a different searchable database. And I just wanted to let you know, over the summer, the provost office and OIR will be writing the specification and doing the programming for this online form. We'll create the database, and we will write procedures for the initial data entry as well as the updates that you may make over time. And then we will write a specification for the workflow and how data get published to the database. Then we're going to do some testing, and then we hope to roll it out to you in August. And then we will be ready for the conversation with TJU about how we can have our database and their database commingled for purposes of endless searching. Any questions? Yeah? Yes?
This is Craig, by the way. Craig Cass from CFOP. I'm just a little concerned. This is a general concern I've had when I talked to the Research Integration Committee. Some of the sciences, as far as research is concerned, are sort of up against another barrier, which is teaching load. So, for example, I'm wondering, in the integration, how that's going to pan out. Our colleagues who may be looking us up may have projects which they're able to dedicate a lot of time to because really what we're doing. Whereas we are balancing it in a different way, and I just don't know how that's going to pan out. Just want to know whether people are thinking about that actively.
I'm really glad that you've raised those concerns. There are lots of different faculty at TJU, and we among ourselves are different here. And so as we come together, we'll have to recognize how we are different and how we can intersect, how we can collaborate, how we calculate teaching load, how they balance teaching and research load. And so all of these things will be discussed, and I would actually encourage you to sit at Ron Kander's table today and surface those questions so that we can put a framework around the conversation. Chad?
I also just want to say bravo. I think this is a great thing. It seems to me that the same information that could go into this database could also be used to populate faculty web pages.
Yes.
So is that part of this vision as well?
We're thinking about things like profiles and web pages. Well, we're thinking about those kinds of things. I'm glad that you are intrigued by them too. Maybe we'll call you for testing. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you.
Okay, traditionally at this time of year, we have faculty who are making a motion to confer degrees. And it's normally the Teacher of the Year Award, and we have someone who's stepping in for Stacy, who's going to be doing it on our behalf. This is not Stacy.
So this is a motion. I'm Raju Parkal. This is a motion to let our students graduate. So no matter what they did up until this point means nothing if we don't answer with a yes. But we have to go through the formal sentence. So here's the motion. Philadelphia University faculty move to confer graduate or undergraduate degrees at the May commencement ceremony to students who have successfully completed their respective degrees during the 2015-2016 academic year. Do I get a second?
And that is, I get to pass the gavel. My thanks to you the last 2 years, and I can't think of anybody better than John to take this over. Dr. Spinelli.
I will do this. I'm going to have Dr. Baker and is Jeff here? Jeff's here too. So I may defer to them when there are questions or amplifications that you require. So I'm going to go through really a very busy year and what I see as some pluses and just some information and maybe some minuses too. I think we have maintained and come closer to becoming the model for professional university education. I think we're getting external validation from that.
Steve.
We're having some tremendous results from that also. Some strategic partnerships that we developed over the year that were both large and small, but I think really did enhance our ability to do education and was a living example of our institutional commitment to collaboration. The integration and the relationship with Thomas Jefferson is obviously a big event for the year, and we continue to shape that event. I will remind everyone that there is a three-year integration process that really starts, that has started, and we'll get into that, some specificity. We have begun the development of integration guiding principles and attributes of a transformed university, and these are general guidelines because we put in place a strategic planning process that involves, well, let me go to that one, then I'll come back, that involves, I think, now somewhere in the vicinity of 250 people, more than 300 people now, roughly half of those from Thomas Jefferson and roughly half of those from Philadelphia University. There is a cascading set of committees and subcommittees throughout this process, and it reports all the way up through and including the Board of Trustees. Lots of involvement across all spectrums of both institutions. I'll go back. As a part of our continuing multi-purpose objectives, we have to operate the institution, we have to integrate the institutions, and we have to look at what the transformed university will be. And operate, integrate, and grow is a dynamic environment. And as we look through the timelines, these are very rough timelines, and they will probably expand a little bit, but not a lot, and could contract a little bit, but I doubt it. The interesting part, there's a lot of interesting parts to this. You need to do your job, and we will respect you for doing that and for the contract that we have with you. I want you to know that we will live to the agreements we had. What we will also try to do as we do integration is to enhance the nature of opportunity for everyone, for our students, for our faculty, for the administration. This is the merger's thesis is about growth and about becoming what I think will be a very dynamic, comprehensive university, and maybe one of the most dynamic in the region, maybe even beyond. I want to go through some of the enrollment issues that we have, the situation, both positive and negative. We sort of leveled out a bit, and from a decline in full-time undergraduate enrollment, and we're seeing some positive signs this year again, so we're hoping that the leveling becomes a positive slope to the curve. The graduate enrollment continues to evolve, and let me be clear, it was, as a part of our strategic planning process in 2007 and 2008, we saw the macroeconomic trends, and we saw where the industry was going, and we said we're going to have to be particularly nimble at the undergraduate level, and really we were facing some headwinds, but we saw some real opportunities in other areas, and that we were going to build a nimble organization that could attack those areas with creative programming. That's what we did, and the result is pretty clear. Continuing in professional studies over the last 5 or 6 years has grown substantially. Now, to be fair on this, frankly, in continuing in professional studies, we include summer enrollments across the university. It's actually not fair. I'm not sure why that legacy occurred. It's still in place. You'd think I would change it if I don't like it, so maybe I should act more aggressively about it. The declines in CPS are last year were specifically in the summer enrollment. It was not in CPS. And then our online initiatives are growing nicely, if slower than I would like. They're growing nicely in many ways replacing the on-site that we lost. The net effect of the enrollment is that we are generally on an incline. We also, in our strategic build in 3 years ago, we said, 3 or 4 years ago now, we said we have to concentrate more specifically on international enrollment. Again, looking at macroeconomic trends, we said that's where there are students and we don't have the infrastructure. We need to put the infrastructure in place. Christine Greb led that effort. We budgeted with a 3 or 4 or 5 year projection, and we have exceeded that each of those years. Made, I think, a dramatic contribution to the overall business model, but I think a really positive contribution to the culture of the campus also. I think I've said this right from the beginning when I came here, collaboration between student life and in the academic division here is better than any place I've ever seen, and maybe better than any place there is. And I think when we started discussing pushing up first year retention rates and could we do more, the collaboration really became acute. The software, the human interaction, the network we did, the support of our students became really terrific, and we have set now record first year retention rates, and we are on a trajectory to equal 83% for this year. I think that's really good education. And I think the market is helping to validate us. It is still a very warbly economic environment. We have not fully recovered. The economy has not fully recovered. It still bounces around. And I'll show some numbers around that too. But our students are in greater demand than most. We've gone up and we've gone down and we've gone up, but we have mostly gone up in full-time faculty headcount. We want to do more. We hope to do more. We plan to do more, but we like the trend. And there's small numbers of changes, so it looks better than that. I heard her whisper that. She was scowling at me, so I was going to say it the way, but it's still going up. The other thing that we saw, and this is in conjunction with the graduate education and the real strategic effort around graduate education, is that it would take a nimble organization that would understand market demand and the interface of market demand and curriculum and build graduate education that was really forward-looking and that really met the needs of the marketplace. And Matt put this together. It was a fantastic. Beth put this together. Matt took credit when he talked to me. That's not true. Matt doesn't take credit for anything. Greatest partner ever. But it really does show an organization that is looking at the marketplace and saying, what does the market need? What do our students need? How do we advance their careers? And how do we nimbly go about doing that? From an SDMBA, the first of its kind in the world, through a doctorate in OT, very different kinds of approaches, but very, very important building the professional university model. That nimbleness is, I think, one of our greatest competitive advantages. And we continue. We've also increased the quality of the work environment, the teaching environment, and the way in which we do it. This is in addition to some of the things we did in the strategic plan, especially around adaptability. But we learned a lot from that experience, and we learned a lot from Jeff's work and Marion's work before him in Nexus Learning. And the way the faculty has grown around this has been really substantial. And I think having the infrastructure to support that becomes really intimate to the success of this institution going out into the future. So we are really working hard, and Jesse Schaefer should be applauded for the kind of really tough work he's been doing in dragging people to campus and dragging the money out of their pockets to help fund this effort. But we really have built a momentum where people believe in what we're doing. You walk around on the Evening of Innovation and the Innovation Exposition, and you hear the common language, speaking to my liberal arts friends. It really does build a community because we're using language that is consistent and that we really believe in, from students to faculty to adjuncts to parents. And I think we're supporting it in really interesting ways. And Tommy did a fabulous job presenting your summer work. Thank you very much. And he does that every summer. We supported all this with our most successful capital campaign, which we closed out. We have some, I think, important metrics around the campaign. Remember, we build a campaign, we build a strategy. The strategy says we have to invest in certain things to be able to pull off the strategy, and we have to go out and we have to raise that money. Again, the external recognition, probably, I'm proud of them all. I don't know if I'm more proud of one versus another. But jumping 21 points is pretty doggone good. That was the most any school advanced this year in a single year in the Northeast. I think that's really great external validation. And frankly, it's across so many disciplines and in so many different perspectives. I don't think you can fake this. I think that our public relations and marketing department does a fabulous job, but you can only do a fabulous job in that if you have good material to go talk to people about. And you should feel particularly good about this. I think our students feel, but the faculty should feel really great. And we got a lot of press. Want to go through a little bit of our budget situation. We manage hard, and I think the really tough management decisions, which are always incredibly unpleasant for me, frankly, because it is setting priorities, and it is saying we can't afford some things that I desperately would like to do, and that's hard work. It's not my favorite part of the job, but one I take very seriously. We are still very much tuition-driven. Most of what we do comes from tuition. And if you take tuition in auxiliary enterprises, it's just about everything. And the way we managed our expenses, again, was directly in line with the tuition. Now, if you go back and you do the math on that, it's a little over $1 million that we had in margin, and that becomes really our emergency fund. So if we have a roof in Raven Hill, 600 grand, we can pay for it. And we've reduced deferred maintenance, and we've improved the built environment because we've been smart about the budget. I like the one double the endowment, but frankly, we had a small emergency fund. Now we have not as small an emergency fund as an endowment. But when a lot of endowments went down, we raised a lot of money, and we worked very hard, and ours has grown. In the current statistics around the professorships, there's a couple of things here that I think are important. In the overall, that was a mistake. There we go. In all ranks, we've roughly held ground on that. There's been some changes in the professor level. We have more professors now as of today, but there's few full professors and a change of one. And when we had some retirements, that really skews the numbers. So we have more professors, but they're younger. So that, I think, skewed the numbers a bit. Let you have that sink in just for a second. And then looking at salary adjustments, and maybe specifically answering some questions around that, looking at CPI and looking at what the percentage increase was over the period, I would also point out that there were no layoffs during this period. A majority of colleges did. I'll let that sink in for a second also. And when you look at, we've got some comparables in here. We compared to LaSalle and to I should say Arcadia, I think. Jeff?
No, I got you. They only have partial data. They only have partial data.
So. We look better if you put Arcadia in there. Their line went down. I would have left it here. Part of this is consistency from us because we manage it hard. This is for the associate professor ranks. this is for the full professor ranks. These are 12 converted to 9?
Yes. But that's how we have to work.
Can you go back one? So what does that mean?
Back this way.
Yes. That salary for a 9-month contract. And that's $80,000 a year, not $82, right?
Right. In thousands.
So the federal government asks you to report salaries in what they call the 9-10 month block. So if you have a 12 month employee, you have to multiply by a factor that they give you. It's a number, a point, and then you have a decimal point, two numbers, and then that gets you to a 9 month or 9-10 month is what they call it, and that allows them to compare apples to apples. So, so it's less than people are actually being paid in many, many ways. Number one, this is salary, not salary and stipends and a variety of other things. So that makes, but also this is, any 12-month employees would be looked at as 9-month employees.
Does it include benefits?
It does not. This is salary.
This does. No. This does. Yes, ma'am.
Catherine Jones, CSHLA. I think there was kind of a bated breath feeling in the room as you were giving your presentation because people thought you were going to be making an announcement about salaries.
It is the anticipation that was exciting. Here's the pattern that we've taken is because we are my numbers showing that we are tuition driven. The enrollment cycle has stretched out, and we don't know the enrollment numbers until later in the summer. And when we know the enrollment numbers, we make an announcement. Then that's what we've done over the last 2 years, and we'll do that again. Again, I'm encouraged. I really am encouraged, but I'm also disciplined. Nothing would make me happier, and I swear to you, nothing would make me happier than say, here's a big raise. That would make me happy, but I'm going to manage hard. Yes, ma'am.
So you used the phrase, we've managed hard, which I assume we all understand to mean something related to fiscal responsibility. I would just be interested, would you be able to give us, say, three examples of decisions, you know, more specifically, that resulted from managing hard?
Yeah, I can make a couple. One, we made a decision about reducing administrative overhead, and we achieved that over the last 2 years with great pain. And I didn't want to say that, but since you asked.
You would support staff for administrative overhead.
That's right. And administrators in general, we have just cut the ranks. We are now a smaller percentage of the total budget than we've been in 10 years. And that was a big decision on our part. We made decisions around salaries for a lot of people, but especially for administrators, where we had lower salary raises because we needed to save the money. And those are people I'm working with very directly, and I had to tell them. Those are hard decisions to make. And we made some decisions about some financing decisions early on that proved to be really good, that were really scary. We said interest rates would stay low, so we'll go with a variable rate instead of a fixed rate. We saved a couple of points on $70 million. That had gone wrong, it would have been a big problem. But we were disciplined, we looked at the data, we made the decision. There's three. We made some enrollment pricing increases that were really scary. When some people were experimenting with cutting tuition, we still raised because we thought we had great value and had underpriced for a long time. Those are really scary decisions. But we believed in the data and we believed in the quality. I know if I wait long enough, you'll
I'm somewhat anxious about asking this question. It's Catherine Jones again from CSLA. So it would be really interesting for us as faculty to see the equivalent data for administrators. Some of that is available on, as we're a nonprofit, it's available through our taxes. But I think it's only the 20 top paid administrators that are available, or maybe 25. Is it possible for us to get that data as well, or those data, I should say?
I will give you any data about me. I can't make that decision for other private employees. I can't do it. I can ask. We can give you categories. I could give you categories. I can't give you individual. Yeah, we can do categories. If, as long as we give you consolidated data, we can do that. But I can't say our provost makes Well, he's one of the top. Yeah. Well, he's not paid that much anyway, so it's all less than him, too. So. 30 days? Just probably less, but that gives me.
There's some people out there. There's where we can.
Can you use the mic, please?
One or two areas where we'll have to, where there's only one person in the category, so we'll have to look at that to make sure without their permission. Because having a very small faculty, sometimes when Beth and I did this data, and we noticed that there was one person in a couple of categories, so we'll figure that out. But the other ones we can bring in.
I have a question about
the faculty. Say it loud.
I have a question about the faculty. Some of these show substantial increases in averages. Last couple of years when we've been held flat for salary. So I was just curious, I feel like it dips and then seems to come back up, how we might interpret that.
I would have to look at the individual data lines. I don't know. I don't think I can answer that.
It seems like an important question.
Well, then I'll pay attention to it and I'll give you an important answer.
I think that's a result of people being promoted and new hires. So that's
a result of people being promoted hires. I processed this data very quickly. But I'll give you, let me dig into the data and see if I can give you a textured answer here. I have to go to the rowing graduation. So if there are more questions, I'm happy to have a cup of coffee, or you can look at this in more depth, and we can have a separate meeting or. Thank you very much.
We have a series of announcements. I'm going to have Carla do hers first because she's in off her break here. So. announcement about graduation, so if you could have your attention, please. Hi, guys. Thank you for giving me your attention for a few minutes. So we've sent out a bunch of information to you about where commencement is again. It's at the Convention Center at the Terrace Ballroom, giving you some of the updates on counts. We're expecting very much the similar crowd as last year. Those that rented regalia by answering the survey back in January, February, and March, your regalia is in the Renner Rowan room. If you did not complete that survey, we did not order because we were not aware you were actually attending. And unfortunately, we can't rent at this late of a date. The bus will be leaving Ravenhill at 8:30 a.m. for faculty and also 1 p.m. We have a number of adjuncts that are attending this year, which we are really excited about. So we do have the two buses. There's also one leaving at 12:30 if you're really interested in coming down early, if you're coming to the afternoon ceremony. We have four buses returning, two after the morning ceremony and two after the afternoon ceremony, and they're staggered by 30 minutes. So those that want to stay around and greet their students and parents, we've created a later bus. This year, you will not be in those two small rooms that you guys were in last year. You'll instead be in Hall G, which is to the left of the lobby. It's where the train show was going on last year, for those that were there. And that will be split off. It'll be pipe and draped, and there's going to be tables and chairs in there. We'll still have staff and student ambassadors in there to monitor the room when you're not, when you're upstairs in the ceremony. We've also changed the marching format of the flow so that we heard a lot of the pains from last year, so we've changed that a little bit. So when you go into that concrete hall upstairs, you'll actually be going in the order you'll walk up to the stage. So you're actually going to be going in front of the audience instead of out to the hall and down through the center of the audience. That should save a lot of time and a lot of bottlenecking from families still arriving. Students are also marching in from the front, so we hope that we'll get them seated much faster thanks to the 11 marshals that signed up this year, so thank you all. And because we typically overflow with faculty and adjuncts attending the morning ceremony and possibly even the afternoon this one, there is an overflow section down and right in front of the graduates. So we are asking those that are attending both ceremonies, you get to go up on stage. Those that are only attending one, you may be in the overflow. It's just because we only have 79 seats beyond the stage party, President's Council, and Provost Council. So there's only 79 seats on the stage for faculty. We widened the stage this year for several reasons. One, so you guys didn't feel like you're falling off the stage. And also because we did have to add lifts on both sides of the stage in case a student is in need of bringing a wheelchair onto the stage. So we had to give that space. I can't do much about the lights because that's really necessary in order for our 5,000 parents and friends and families to see. If you have not answered the survey that I just sent out last week about whether you are actually attending and if you're needing in transportation, please do so by the end of today. I've got to get the stage party seating mapped out, and I also have to give counts to the bus company. Okay. Any questions? Yeah, marshals are good. I've already got you guys laid out.
Are we still going to do an alley after the graduation?
Yes, we are still going to recess out the center and go down to the first floor and create the tunnel, and then the students will process behind you.
I just, I'm going to have to go to the rowing graduation, so Ron and everybody will help out with this, and just want to thank Nancy for all of her work this year. She's good at it.
I I should say that the faculty overflow that's down in front of the stages for expectant fathers as well, so. Did Neil leave?
No.
Okay. Jeff Siepel.
Thanks, Nancy. Two quick things. We're going to be working on some things over the summer that will possibly have an impact in the fall. I just want to give you a heads up and you think about it. Who knows what multi-factor authentication is? Okay. In an effort to add security to your experience here, we are looking at some options there. I'm not going to give you any details at this point. We haven't made any hard, fast decisions. But if you've experienced it, if you use it on a daily basis, some of the Google.com tools use it. Your financial institutions might use it. Very easy to use. It's another layer that almost logarithmically helps protect your passwords and your identity, and we're all about that. So stay tuned. One really cool thing I want to tell you about, which you can use today, and any of your colleagues who are also a member of this consortium can use on our campus, is a thing called EduRoam. Anyone know what EduRoam is? I knew Beth did, and Christine did. I've told a few people. We've joined, and we now have a wireless network. Don't have to do it right now, but if you look at your phone or your laptop, you'll see a wireless network called EduRoam. That's a function of our membership in the consortium, which allows your credentials, your Philadelphia University credentials, to be trusted and used at any EduRoam institution in the world. For example, when we were doing some testing a couple weeks ago, there were people from Temple University on campus who connected to the EduRoam connection here, logged on with their Temple credentials, and were on a network, part of our network, trusted because of their credentials, trusted at Temple. Swarthmore, Haverford, Bryn Mawr, Penn, Drexel, those are a few in this area. But if you go to eduroam.org, there's a map, there's a listing, we're on there as active along with a lot of other places. So it's a pretty cool function. No, TJU has not joined yet, Patrick. They're working on it. Remember, we're agile, we're nimble, got there. But we're helping, in all fairness, we're helping with it. And they're very excited. It's a huge, it'll be a huge advantage. They do have guest networks. This takes that out of the conversation. And one last thing, when you come back in the fall, we'll be telling students about this. The PhilU wireless network's going to go away, and everyone will log in through EduRoam, because that will route you to the PhilU network. So it will simplify this list of all those networks you see. Although we can't get rid of the Comcast one and a couple other ones, the Xfinity that show up because they're just all in the neighborhood. Any questions? Yes? Nope. You're on. Yes?
Especially a comment. Unless you change, you have to log in at your own university first before you can log in at another university.
Well, I would hope that's the case for everyone in this room. I'm not sure. It's easy to do. You can do it in the next 10 minutes if you like. But it's live, it's available, so please exploit it, use it, whatever you need. Any questions, other things? Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marcella McCoy Day Honors Program. Friendly reminder to submit your honors completion forms, which I have a few here, or if you're on the new portal, go right into WebAdvisor and let me know how the students did. Second announcement, for Fulbright for fall, if you have graduating seniors or graduate students who are still matriculating next year who you think would make excellent Fulbright candidates, please send their names to me so I can be in touch with them. We're going to get started over the summer on those applications. Thanks.
More announcements. Okay, Ron's going to give us a kickoff about the integration workshops. Let me give you a little heads up here. We will have the little orientation. We will go out to lunch. And we will come back to different tables. The tables will be adequately set up. So bear with us. Before I give the mic over, can we have a motion to adjourn? Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I'm between you and lunch, so I'll go fast. There's only four slides, I promise. Matt had to go,